Thế là mình được rồi, phải vì lắm mình chết. Nhắn để thấu hòa và sinh hạt xa như được bắn lửa, sáng kinh hòa được gì. When that young man approached, calling out the name of Krishna, suddenly the man fell to the ground, rolling and crying, appearing to be in great ecstasy. Prabhupada remained seated and observed the exhibition, but made no response. The man continued his crying and rolling and chanting. Prabhupada now ignored him completely. After several minutes, the man got up and walked away, obviously disappointed. Early one morning, as Prabhupada sat in his room with his disciples, a gentleman entered and cheerfully announced that his mother was dying. The devotees, watching for Prabhupada's reaction, saw him remain grave. He tried to reassure the man or preach to him, but made only a very mild comment. Prabhupada was unpredictable. He was always Krishna conscious and always active in accord with Guru and Shastra. But exactly how he would act in a given situation was unpredictable. Whatever he did, however, was Krishna conscious and direct. And he was always instructing them by his example. You notice how when man is so collected, he is chanting and crying and rolling before Prabhupada did not respond. As everyone knows, it is not delayed. Bona fide spiritual personality to display ecstasy in public. Certainly, Srila Prabhupada is no stranger to transcendental ecstasy, yet, the proper behavior of the succession is not to display in public. Otherwise, neophytes, they think this is the only criterion, or the main criterion of a Krishna conscious person. And display ecstatic symptoms. Now, to bona fide devotees of the Lord always try to restrain the symptoms because they don't want to give fuel to Pakita Sahaja, so they take things cheaply and think that you just go around crying and rolling on the floor, and in that way, this is real advancement. Now, Srila Prabhupada would expect that. Your advancement is gained by compassionate dedication to spreading Krishna's glory all over the world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasana Thakura, like that, they would try to restrain their whenever they became overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. And they wouldn't talk about it. Prabhupada would even stop his lecture, walk out of the room, and even afterwards, he would not have suffered. The Vaishnavas want their main contribution to be always in the spotlight. That is, reciting sound vibrations coming through the Siddha procession and acting according to that sound vibration. Those are the things, those are the miracles. And when those miracles are present, miracles in the audience follow. What are the miracles of the audience that follow? They become free from sinful life. Recently, in New Zealand, I've done a so-called Ladies' Type magazine, very popular. So, one lady put down an advertisement, full page, heralding the arrival of her so-called guru, Mahajogi something. So, he presented his qualifications, why she knew he was bona fide. She said that she was in financial difficulty. Anyway, she went to see him the first time, and as soon as he looked into her eyes, she said, "Don't worry, we're going to help you with your finances." Then she knew he was bona fide. The next time she saw him, some a year later, she was having some heart palpitation problem or something. And as soon as she saw him, he said, "Don't worry, your heart's going to be all right." Then her faith was rock solid. This is a bona fide. Now, what would you say about that? We say, maybe she met a very good investment banker, financial expert. Maybe she met a very good medical expert. But bona fide really means one who repeats Krishna's word at that time, he was a professor. Other people don't understand that because they're so attached to material desire. And therefore they want someone to help them in their attempt to enjoy the material world, and they consider that indicative of spiritual value. Yes, you're really helping me. You're helping me to enjoy the material world. You're definitely a bona fide spiritual man. So that is quite important, and the people need to be educated.
Now we need, therefore, advise Guru Maharaj take shelter of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, and engage himself in the way that his mother had advised, for that would help him fulfill his desire. In this verse, Narada Muni has especially stressed the devotional service of the Lord as the only way. In other words, even if one is full of material desires, he can continue his devotional service to the Lord, and all his desires will be fulfilled.
Om Jnana Kimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shastra Muditani Tadamai
Sri Gurudev Maha. These four principles, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, are the indications of a civilized society. You can proceed with these, with three of these four categories as a karmi. The proper definition of a karmi is one who tries to gratify his senses in line-based injunctions. The Vedic injunctions restrict the sensual demands of the body in such a way that gradually one may become purified and start to be able to concentrate on transcendental knowledge. Restriction is always there in any real human society, and you can see remnants of that today, in theory, but not in practice. That's why you're supposed to be over a certain age to be able to go to a liquor store. You're supposed to be over a certain age to enter a gambling casino, or even to buy cigarettes. Restriction means that these things actually aren't good for you. Of course, everyone has forgotten all about that, and they don't even know the real purpose behind these restrictions. Vedic culture puts forth restrictions, and everyone is educated to understand the purpose of these restrictions. So you can go through Dharma, Artha, and Kama as a karmi, as someone who wants to enjoy the fruits. And you can also do it as a bhakta, as a devotee. And that's what Narada Muni is talking about here. And Prahlad Maharaj advises his schoolmates the same thing in the seventh canto. So how do you do it as a karmi? You think, well, I want to enjoy in this life and the next, so I know I better perform good karma, punya, pious activity, I should worship the demigods, and that way I'll get real good results to enjoy for myself and my family now and in the next life. So you set about doing that. And you perform acts of atonement to cover any sinful activity you may have done. You can read about this in the sixth canto. Prithvi Maharaj talking to Shukadev Goswami. He said, my lord, you've already described how people can progress on the Nirvritti Marg, the path of material detachment, how they can gradually go up through the planetary system, get to Brahmalok, and then go back to Godhead with Lord Brahma. You've also described in the fifth canto how living enemies can go to hell due to Prithvi Marg, the path of enjoyment. I would like to know how people can become liberated from all these complexities of trying to enjoy the material world. He's saying that many times we can see that people, actually first, Shukadev Goswami told them that one who is addicted to material results better make sure he atones for his sinful activities while his body is strong and before the next death comes. Because otherwise, if you leave your body and there is sinful activity you haven't accounted for, you will suffer in your next life. So, Prithvi Maharaj replied to that. Well, this is a very difficult thing because I've seen in my experience as king, remember, Prithvi Maharaj is about to die, but he's saying, I've seen from my own experience as world emperor that people may know something is wrong, and they may see others being punished, but still they do it. Just like a criminal. He knows what the law is, he's seen people punished, but he cannot control himself, he still does it. In other words, Prithvi Maharaj is telling us that experience, learning by experience, will not help you. You may know from your own experience, from the experience of others, You may have heard so much, seen so much, but some of it you can't control yourself. So Krishna Maharaj's conclusion was, Priyatikam Ato Parakam Manye Kunja Shauchana. I think the whole process of performing simple activities and then trying to counteract them with pious activities is like an elephant bathing. Everyone knows, the elephant goes into the river water, washes off all the dust, comes out on the riverbank, and immediately rolls in the dust. So Krishna Maharaj gave that very effective example. Manye Kundera Shochara. I think it's just like an elephant bath. How can you counteract simple tendencies of enjoyment with another fruited activity? In other words, performing pious activities to counteract impious activities, that's a way of trying to enjoy the results. You still think you're the enjoyer. Oh, I did that wrong. That will hinder my enjoyment. Now I'll do this pious activity. That will help my enjoyment. Because in your heart is still the desire to enjoy. You actually are always in trouble. There are 80 shastras called Dharma shastras, which have lists of all kinds of simple activities and all the pious activities, like the Manu Samhita. So, on the path of fruited activity as a karmi, you're always trying to balance tapa and punya. What's an example in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Was it that Subhuti Roy? He had a Muslim servant, and what did the servant do? He made some mistake, and so Subhuti Roy had him whipped. Later, the way the material world works, Subhuti Roy became subservient to that Muslim servant. The Muslim servant became the nawab, or some kind of controller of society. And so, one day, his wife, the Muslim wife, noticed these whip marks on his back. She asked, where did these come from? And he said, oh, when I was young, I stole something like that. And Subhuti Roy had me whipped. Immediately the wife became very angry. There's only one solution. Subhuti Roy must be killed. He dared to whip me when you were a child. You're my husband. Therefore, he must die. So, the husband explained to her, I was like his son. He was just trying to raise me properly. He did it with affection for my well-being. I can't kill him. But she insisted. A good wife can either be a good insist or a bad insist. So she insisted, and the Muslim ruler, he had to knuckle under some way. So he said, I'm not going to kill him, but I tell you what. When I see him, somebody will sprinkle water from a Muslim's water pot on him. And that automatically means he's a Muslim. That's as good as killing him. So, that's what happened. Water from a Muslim's water pot was sprinkled on Subhuti Roy. And according to the misconception of society, automatically he was considered a Muslim. In recounting this story from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains that this actually is how Islam spread in India, through spirit of misunderstanding like that. People thought if you just associate with the Muslims and you get water sprinkled from their water pot on you, then you're a Muslim. Subhuti Roy was in great difficulty. What to do? He went to a Brahmin. That's the normal thing in a civilized society. You go to a Brahmin and ask for advice. Even if you're a karmi, you want to know, how can I perform fruitive activities without getting disastrous effects? I want to enjoy. I'm the enjoyer. The secure world is meant for prosperity and material happiness. You please guide me according to Vedic injunctions so I don't hit any landmines in my future life. So, the Brahmin told him, the only way to counteract your becoming a Muslim is you must drink boiling ghee. Yes, you must drink a certain amount of boiling ghee. Well, how can you live from that? So Subhuti Roy was in a great difficulty what to do. But actually he's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And the way Prabhupada tells the story, he said, Lord Chaitanya laughed. just see that the greatest condition of the Hindu religion. People think that you get water from a water pot sprinkled on you, automatically, or Mohammed. They, this is the depth of their understanding of Sanatana Dharma. Just see. So what the time is that you just chant Hare Krishna, you take up the devotional service, you don't worry about all this. So, these are some of the complexities and the illusions that come about when you're trying to perform Dharma in accordance with fruitive activity. Life is so complicated. Just like, according to the Vedic system, householders on the path of fruitive activity are advised every day to perform Pancha Maha Yajna, the five basic home yajnas, sacrifices, to cover all sorts of unknown sins they've done during the day. Basically, sins caused by lighting the oven, sins caused by walking, by breathing, by drinking water, and also sins caused by using a mortar and pestle. Because in Pakka Vedic homes, you don't buy spices already ground because the flavor has diminished. You buy spices that are whole, and right before you're cooking, you grind them up. So, therefore, the Vedas put forth that as one of the five unknown simple activities, because while you're grinding up the spices, you're killing microbes, something there is being killed. So therefore, these five types of sinful activities are always there. The point is you can't avoid killing. You may cover your mouth with a cloth, but that doesn't mean you've avoided killing. You must perform yajna. So every household would do that. In Kali Yuga, of course, there's only one yajna, chanting Hare Krishna. So we must be very careful that we do chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, what shelter do we have against sinful activity? So, Prithviraj told Sukadeva Goswami, obviously, in other words, you're testing me. This process of Karmakanda atonement, it doesn't work. I've seen it in my experience as a ruler. It doesn't uproot the sinful desire from people's hearts. They just get into trouble again. Why? Because the mentality is that I will perform pious activities to enjoy. To stop the suffering from the impious activities. But the whole thing is your desire is still there to enjoy. Therefore you always get into trouble. Because the enjoying attitude is boiling in you, sooner or later that leads to trouble. Even though you may know what the rules and regulations are. So, in other words, Krishna Maharaj is saying, we need a process that gets to the root of that desire to enjoy. So, Sukadeva Goswami texted them again. Alright then, you think like that? Payasthitam Dhamarshanam. Real atonement, payasthita, means to get full knowledge. You study the Vedas and become very expert at this is illusion, that is real, neti-neti, this is the material dream, it is not Brahman. You train yourself in controlling the senses, controlling the mind. Tapasa brahmacharyena, samena cha dhamena cha, charyena satyasamchabhya, namena niyamena va. The first austerity, of course, is to control yuga. Without that, no question of any kind of knowledge in the spiritual life. And then, you must control the mind and senses. Renounce material enjoyment, be truthful, clean, and follow the regulations for what you shouldn't do and what you should do. These are the basis. This is the basis for real human life for advancement. But Krishna Maharaj, he didn't accept that either. He said that still, just by accumulating knowledge, it doesn't get to the bottom of the desire to enjoy. He said, just like fire may burn the leaves on a creeper at the, just like a leaf on a creeper at the base of a bamboo plant may dry up. Still the root is there. So, even though you may accumulate Vedic knowledge, jnana yoga, you know, this is not real. This is not Brahman. You may have drilled and trained your mind and senses in accordance with metaphysical knowledge given in the Vedas. Still, there's something there at the bottom. Certainly, and the purport Prabhupada gives credit to the Jnani, to the impersonal, certainly they are expert in trying to avoid simple activity. But sooner or later, they do get snared. Because the root of a material desire is there. It's not as flaming as in a karmakanya practitioner, but it's still there. So, Krishna Maharaj did not accept that. So then, Shukadeva Goswami gave him the actual conclusion. Kesit kevalaya bhakya vasudeva parayana adam vrindanti kachneya nihara eva bhaktara. Kesit, some people, not all people, but the special people, they perform unalloyed devotional service to Vasudeva. And that devotional service drives away, dissipates completely all sinful activity, sinful mentality, just like when the sun rises, immediately the fog and the mist go. That was the conclusion. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha performed according to the karmi way is very dangerous. Especially you think, it's all over that. You get karma mimamsa delusion. You perform the pious activity, the economic development must be there, because the economic development is there, you're working hard, there must be good times, karma. And then maybe, when you're old and gray, you think about moksha. And what kind of moksha do you think about? Liberation in impersonal Brahman. You think, I shall now merge with the Supreme after a lifetime of trying to be the enjoyer. The next step is to merge and be the Supreme in that way. And certainly you'll fall down, even if you do actually merge with the Brahman, because you still have that problem. You think you're the enjoyer. You may realize, I can't enjoy the material world, so then you think, I shall be the enjoyer by merging into the Brahman. If you can't beat him, join him. You can't compete with Krishna in fruitive activity, you'll join with him with Jnani Yoga. So, once again, there's something still at the bottom which gets you into trouble. Something, some enjoying potential still at the bottom of the heart. So, what Dhruva Maharaj is being told here is to execute Dharma, Artha, and Kama Moksha as a bhakta. And this is the same thing Prahlada Maharaj told his schoolmates. He said, when you're doing the four principles, you depend on Krishna. Your real dharma you follow is not karmakandya. It's not ritualistic worship of the demigod for enjoyment in this life and that. The real dharma you follow is sanatana dharma, transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord. And what's the real artha, the real economic development that a bhakta follows? What you do your duty, but the result is up to Krishna. You do your duty to maintain your family and earn a livelihood, but the result, you can't control. Kamanyeva Vikara says, you're entitled to do your duty, but the result, you cannot endure. That is the Bhakta's version of artha. And then karma, yes, Prabhupada explains that within the life of a bhakta, if he wants, there is some allowance for sense gratification under bhakta rules and regulations. And of course, most of them mean devotional service, which you can do from the very beginning. Therefore, everyone has a chance to be immediately liberated, according to their absorption in devotional service. And in one purport in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains that even a neophyte in devotional service is unconsciously liberated. Now, of course, that doesn't mean to say, we're neophytes and doesn't worry, it doesn't matter, no worries because we're all liberated, so hey, that's the end of it all. No. Unconscious liberation is not the goal. That's why we are back to Krishna consciousness. To become conscious of the fact that we are serving Krishna. To become conscious of the predominance of the Lord and our nature to render service to the Lord. You want to become conscious of that. But even still, whether we know it or not, the deities are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Holy Name is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The true Lord is the Lord, as the prasad, can make you Krishna conscious. The Bhagavatam is the literary presence of the Lord, whether we know it or not. These things are going on. So when we interact with the deities, with the prasad, with the Bhagavatam, with all the aspects of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, we are actually interacting with liberation, whether we know it or not. But the whole point is to become conscious of that, and then we're safe from sinful activities. When you're conscious of something, you can offer more loving service. You can concentrate your mind and intelligence on pleasing Krishna's senses in a very conscious way. And that is the power and dynamics of bhakti. Gradually wake up out of the materialistic dream and become conscious of serving Krishna's senses with everything you have. So that is the bhakti version of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And that's what Narada Muni recommended. Padasevana. It's all coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. Don't misunderstand. Don't go for the Kamakandhya version of Dharma, Artha, Kama. No. Don't forget Krishna. Actually, you can't get anything from anyone else than Krishna anyway. Everyone is powerless. Krishna is actually fulfilling the desire. So these are very good points to remember. And it's fascinating how deep and rich Vedic culture is. Even the lifestyle of Vedic karma is far beyond the animals that we find in our so-called civilized Western land. Even a life of a karma. Because the Vedic karma understands I must gratify my senses in accordance with Vedic injunctions. He's accepting the law. But our so-called civilized people today, they take advantage of these to reject any kind of dharma. Each one of us to make our own laws for our life. That is the best thing. It all comes from you, and you have a right to lay down the law for yourself. Once a Britisher was having a discussion with Prabhupada, one famous Alistair Hardy or something like that. What was he after? He was a, I don't know. I remember, he was a famous guy at that time. So he was discussing with Prabhupada, and he told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was explaining the Vedic Rajarshi system, how a king like Yudhisthira or Prince Maharaj would run the whole society so that everybody was engaged in devotional service, everybody was free from sinful activity. So, this very distinguished British gentleman told Prabhupada, that's the thing I can't accept. I can understand that some of my Prince Maharaj and Yudhisthira Maharaj would know better. But still, I think it's better let the people do things their own way, even if they make a mess of it. But the whole point is they're doing it their way. This is the Western disease. Yes, he said, I can understand that some of my Krishna youth here could know better. But still, they shouldn't run the society. It's better the people do what they want to do, what they think is best, because it's coming from them. And even if they make a mess of it, still, their life is coming from them. That is the point. This is a very intelligent man saying like this. And most people, the rest will agree, yes. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find my way or I don't find it at all, I've got to be me, I've got to be free. There's a lot of them. So many folk songs like that, when they reveal their dharma. Yes, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, who cares if I find my way? Who cares if I find the truth or I don't find it at all? As long as I make a mess in my own way. That is advancement. That is progress. It's astounding. So this man was saying, yes, I appreciate what you're telling about Prince that you just did. And in one way I can understand, it'd be great to have somebody like that in charge. But the ultimate conclusion is, no way. Because the people have to do it according to their own vision. And that's the highest thing. To do it according to your own vision, never mind that everything's the best, everything's the greatest. He actually said that. Still, they're acting, they're individualism. They're free. Self-determination. That is the ultimate thing. Even if everything's going to hell, at least there's self-determination. This is the Western Maha Mantra. It shows up in economic development. It shows up in their approach to so-called spiritual life. No one has a monopoly on the truth. Each person should find your own truth, and only you know that truth. Only you can know it. And when it comes to you, only you will realize it, because it's your truth. After all is said and done, everybody just surrenders to the truth of sense that they're facing, of course. But still, they're talking like this. So this has nothing to do with civilized life. And by hearing the Bhagavatam explain even about the path of fluid activity, even ordinary dharma, artha, kama, moksha, we get a great deep appreciation of the depth of Vedic culture. Let's do Jani, blow my head. But by mixing with the Bhagavatam, he became attracted to the nature of transcendental. So you want to find out how someone became Krishna conscious, you can read about narrative reading. He said, first I was like this, then I became like that, now I'm Narada Muni, I go everywhere playing my Veena, Radhika Ramana Maya. So it's all there. But no, people gather read about court heroes. They want to read these women's magazines, true love. What to do when he doesn't care for you anymore. That's what something like to read. Ask anybody to read about Narada Muni. He's giving a whole account of his Krishna consciousness. But no, nobody reads it. This is the problem. No time to hear about Krishna. And we have to be careful about that too. So Prabhupada warned us about that. What are we presenting to the people? We're not presenting Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha separate from Krishna. We need to teach them about Krishna. That's what they don't know. And to teach about Krishna, you have to know about Krishna. Anyone can know about Krishna. You don't have to be a scholar. The Krishna book is there. If you just read the Krishna book over and over again and explain about the Lord as revealed in the Krishna book, it's so attractive. So Prabhupada would encourage anyone who tries to teach about Krishna in the authorized way. Even a five-year-old girl would go around and say to people, do you know who Krishna is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Prabhupada certified. Very, very good reason. So no one can say, oh, I can't tell anyone about Krishna. I'm not realized enough. That's no excuse. You don't accept that excuse. And if you want to know how to preach, you have to prepare. I remember my beautiful case. I was a young devotee, and I happened to see some letters from Prabhupada. She said, if you want to learn the Bhagavatam, you just cram my purport. You just pack your purport into your memory, and then repeat exactly what the purport says. And then in time, you'll be able to say things in your own words. So he gave me 2 points at once. Yes, you should. There's great value in just repeating like a parrot. But by faithfully repeating, you'll be able to have your own style, your own personality, because as Vaishnavism teaches, we are all individual servants of Krishna. So both things are there. So we said, you just do that. You cram, use those words, cram my purport. Everyone who's gone to school, if they've been a bit of a good student, they know how to cram. The night before the exam, and you've been goofing off all semester long, you cram, you stay up all night and pack it into your brain. The next day you take your test and you spill it all out. So, use that propensity for the Bhagavatam, and gradually you'll be able to say it in a natural way in your own words. Both things are laudable. Those who just cram and repeat, and those who can repeat according to their own style. Both things are very good. So Prabhupada said, if you'll just learn this Bhagavatam, you can go everywhere in the world, and people will appreciate you. But it takes time. You can't just like pass your hands over the books or keep the books on a nice bookshelf in your flat. Or just, he told me, I said, well, we were talking about householders and reading, and he just looked at me like I was nuts and said, come on, alright. Householders don't read. They all have a nice, I need a householder, you can add it in. They all have a nice bookshelf in their flat, in their home, all the books, they are full set, but they never open. I don't know. But anyway. And of course, the Brahmacharya, the Brahmacharya, oh, we're too busy. We never get rid of the entire. I've noticed over the years, anytime a Brahmin started volunteering, that we never get reading time. That means they really don't want to read. Anybody who actually wants to do it, they always get it done. And those who don't want to do it,
we never get time, it's a couple of questions, but we never get reading time.
I know no one here said it like that. And of course, with the Nazis, they can get so busy pontificating. You don't know what that word means, good stuff. I will explain to you.
So, my point is, if we want to preach, to teach problems, but you have to invest some energy. You just can't, be sentimental. Boom, you have the book, you have so many books.
And you never read them.
If you want to re-qualify yourself, and it takes time, have some kind of plan, 4 year, 3 year plan. And then you can actually give benefit to the world.
Any other questions?
The picture that you were painting yesterday was the conditioned soul in Parayiga. It sounds like it's a bleak proposition thinking to them. It sounds almost like as if I fall in almost might as well just pack up and go home. So it's one that you mentioned that anybody who takes shell of the problem, and sort of thinking in Bhagavatam, you take the process of healing in time, and you can overcome any obstacle.
Our proper mentality should be, probably explain it once, I said, that is so fallen means there's lots of service to do. Because they're so fallen, we have an opportunity to serve Krishna very powerfully, and we'll get special mercy from Lord Caitanya for this. It's true, they're so fallen, but a Vaishnava, that means more service can be done. Just like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, when they approached Lord Caitanya as Dabhyakas and Chakramali, they said, your fame is as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen soul. If you want your reputation to be intact, you better save us, because we're among the fallen. And if you do save us, your reputation will therefore be glorified all over the universe, because we're the most fallen. Therefore, here's a chance for you to display your Patita Pavana activity. More service. Nityananda, also, when he heard about Jadai and Madhai, he didn't say, oh, let me stay inside. Those guys they're too out of it. I'm not going out on Sankirtan. Those guys, they're just too simple out there. Jadai and Madhai, forget it. No. What did he think, Prabhupada? He thought, this is a chance to glorify my master, Mahaprabhu. Immediately he went to give the credit to Lord Caitanya. If people can see Jadai and Madhai become Vaishnav, then this will attract many people to Krishna consciousness, and my Lord will become even more famous. So that's how we should think. More service can be done. And it is a fact. Kilatahunandya Purindapokita. Siddhanti Tasmaya Vishmadeva. Because the Lord is so powerful, he can purify anyone. We're in here, and what's that really about us? Everyone here is born in a Vaishnava family and doing everything properly since birth? No. Whether we're born in India or born in Australia, USA, still, Kaliyuga is so atrocious, and we have some impediments which have been overcome by Lord Caitanya's mercy. Prabhupada once said, I created your pious activity. I created your pious background to come to Krishna consciousness. You had zero in your bank account. In fact, you were in the red. somebody just said you need a background of pious activity. Even Krishna says that in the Gita. Yetam-tam-tikatam-tapam-janam-punyakamana. Only those who have a background of pious activity and have put an end to sin, they can have something to do with approaching bhakti. So where are our pious activities? Probably I created them. We had nothing. So we're here. What's so great about us?
Suddenly, after a few years, we become far beyond whatever else.
We're here on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and others can come too.
So we have two things going on at once. We are very observant of the sinful activity of today. At the same time, we are even more confident of the potency of Lord Chaitanya's movement. We don't shy away from either point.
Another point is cramming and speaking in our own mind. How do we tell it, as opposed to creating or concocting, as opposed to preventing the unwise philosophy in our own world? How can you tell?
Well, first of all, in order to recognize what is correct, you have to know what is correct. You have to educate yourself, and then you can judge. And otherwise, we have our temple authorities. We can go to them, the older devotees. They've heard so much. Only when you hear can you judge. Everything is based on shabda. So if you're not expert, you haven't heard enough, you can't tell, you go to someone who has heard and you ask. And even though we may know what's in the book, sometimes, consciously or unconsciously, we have our own program, our own material longing that may come out along with the message. Therefore, it's always wonderful to have the associations that are able to point that out.
That you, in one sense, you're speaking logically, but it's getting kind of obvious day after day that there's just some other axe that's being ground there. So if you can kindly just, put the axe to it already.
I could help in the band, but I can't say anything. I'll go ahead and go.